Last week, Hollywood departed from its summer blockbuster lineup with The Help. It's a film based on a book for grown-ups about a serious subject, the circumstance of black domestic workers in the South during the civil rights era.
You said to write about what disturbs me, particularly if it bothers no one else.
I'd like to write something from the point of view of The Help.
I want to interview you.
No maid is ever going to tell you the truth. That's a hell of a risk to take in Jackson, Mississippi.
Risk indeed. The film has its critics who say the lighthearted treatment of the book and the movie is demeaning and inaccurate. And it has its devotees who call it a feel-good look at an era that has passed. There is a human, there's a little bit of humor, a touch of romance, some tragedy, redemption. It's got a little bit of everything. Later on this hour, we'll talk with Noelle Williams. She's the president of the Columbus NAACP. Right now, we welcome the historian whose work was a major resource for the novel and the film, The Help. Susan Tucker is an archivist and librarian at the Newcomb College Institute at Tulane University. She is co-editor of The Scrapbook in American Life and editor of New Orleans Cuisine, 14 Signature Dishes and Their Histories. Susan Tucker also wrote Telling Memories Among Southern Women, an oral history of domestic workers and their employers in the segregated South. Welcome to the show, Susan.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
The interviews you and your associate Mary Yelling conducted occurred many years after desegregation, and even then some of the former domestic workers that you interviewed preferred telling their stories to Mary Yelling, who is African American. So I was wondering just right off the bat, is it likely that something like that, something like the book The Help, could have occurred, could have come to fruition during the civil rights movement?
So I think we underestimate that people wanted change and that there were a number of things in place already working for change. There was strong NAACP, and of course there was a very real threat to people, and that these women who were domestic workers, many of them knew that there was a huge threat. But I think that many of them knew also that they wanted change, and they would be willing to do something like that. Even in 1881, the WASH women in Atlanta struck for better wages. And, you know, although a lot of people say that they didn't get very far, they really, that memory lasted for people. And I think people were ready for change. So it's not that I think it necessarily could have happened, but I think people were ready for it to happen. And some people were ready to take risks.
What about the character of Skeeter? Did she resonate with you as an improbable or a likely source of industry on this score?
Well, that's a very hard question for me because when the book first came out, Kitty Stockett called me, and even before the book came out, she called me and she asked me. She wanted to say that, you know, she liked my book and it really helped her and she was writing a book. And so I said, fine. And the reason I said fine was because people often would call me. My book was published in 1988. And almost every year someone would call me and they'd say, I'm writing a book on domestic workers and I just want you to know I really liked your book. Or I would get letters. And I would also get letters from people who didn't like my book. And so I didn't think anything about Kitty Stockett calling me. And then when she came to town, she had the bookstore call me, and I went and met her, and she gave me a copy of the book. And it was really hard for me to read because then I thought, does she think I was like Skeeter? Does she think my mother was sick? Mm-hmm. And then I started having the book clubs that were picking up my book and The Help call me, and they would say, tell me, you know, what it was like, and do you look like Skeeter? And did you live on a plantation? So did I think a white woman in 1962 would have taken that initiative to write about? And I'm not sure, because when I started my thinking about this subject was 1972, and I started it because I was an au pair girl in France. And so I was a servant, essentially, and so I thought about it from the other side. And when I came back to the U.S. a year later, the women's movement had begun, and I went to the card catalog and looked what had been written about domestic workers in the U.S., and there was very little. And what I found mainly was fictional works by both white and black authors where black women played this very strong role, which is true in a lot of literature about servants, where they're the stronger of the characters in the book. But 1962, I think an educated white woman might have taken that course, but it's probably a little far-fetched.
Susan Tucker is our guest. She's an archivist and librarian at the Newcomb College Institute at Tulane University. She also wrote Telling Memories Among Southern Women, an Oral History of Domestic Workers and Their Employers in the Segregated South. Her work was a major resource for the novel and film The Help. That's what we're talking about today. There are critics and devotees of the film both. Susan Skeeter, I think of as the white protagonist in the story. There's the character Abilene, who I think of as the lead, a black protagonist. Anyway, Skeeter sought a career in journalism and publishing, and that's what drove her to find a story that no one had told before, and to catch the catch the eye of a sophisticated book editor in New York. But domestic work is often invisible to outsiders, and you said that it was because of your experience as an au pair that you were inspired to maybe look a little bit deeper into this issue. You grew up with black domestic workers in your household.
I did. Yes, I did.
So as growing up in that, you know, going back to what you said earlier, you never envisioned yourself as a Skeeter.
No, I don't think so. No. I mean, when I look back at my profession and I think I'm an archivist and I'm interested in the way the past is documented. And I think coming up, going through a university program in the late 1960s, early 1970s, I was very conscious of social history, and I was very conscious of what was left out of history. And I think even as a younger child, I knew that, and I think this comes across in many of the interviews with white people who then look back at their childhood, is that, like many of the white people I talked to, they knew something was wrong with segregation when they went to the homes of the domestic workers. Because what at least some white people were taught was that, you know, the black people were happy with segregation. And yet, if you had a domestic worker and you went to their home, or you went to see them in the segregated hospital, for example, when they got sick, which happens in one of the interviews that I did, then you know something is wrong. You know that this system is not working. Plus, you have domestic workers who tell you it's not working. And I was lucky enough to have in our household a domestic worker who would tell us, you know, her childhood. She liked to tell us how she grew up and, you know, what her grandfather, for example, what his aspirations were for her and how they got derailed. And so I think it's the seeds that are planted in life when you're a child that you might come back to and remember. And so that's why Skeeter, I think, comes across as perhaps a character who is going to question how this, I think they called her Dimitri, her domestic worker, how she helped Skeeter surmount the problem of feeling ugly. I don't know if you remember that scene.
Yes,
in the
movie. I do. It's Constantine, yeah. Right.
Constantine. Mm-hmm. And Dimitri is her real, if you read the end of the book, there's a domestic worker who was in Kitty Stockett's family named that. But Constantine says to her, are you going to get up every day and let someone else define you? Are you going to get up every day and let... And so I think that those kinds of messages were imparted to me as well by the domestic worker I knew, that I saw... It's just like the benefit of having another adult in the house. So I saw how she functioned as a working woman, you know, doing lots of things in the world and also combating what clearly we knew was wrong. I mean, you know, my father was planting seeds too in my head that things were wrong. I mean, he wasn't a liberal person, but he was saying things like, we shouldn't have segregated hospitals. You know, he was a doctor, and he was saying things like, you know, why do they have to ride in the back of the bus? I mean, you know, so there were seeds being planted, and if you were a thinking individual, you picked up on those seeds. So I think that Skeeter picked up on those seeds, and I think I did too.
One of the issues in the movie and the book came out more clearly in the movie was that Skeeter wasn't exactly an activist. She was sat on the sidelines pretty much throughout the movie and didn't assert herself except in one instance when it came to the idea of building separate bathrooms the help. And there was a lot of danger. There's an implied danger for her as well.
Well, I don't know about that. You know,
okay.
I don't know. She, as a character, she comes across as rather weak. But I get letters, and I still get letters, as I say, about my book, where people talk about how children in the South were never taught to express their opinions, how they never would cross their parents. And I wasn't taught that. I mean, I didn't get that message. Something.
You missed that lesson, huh?
Yeah. But there were people who were like that, and Skeeter was clearly one. I mean, you know, you want her to say to her mother, you cannot put this permanent in my hair. That was what my thought was. But she doesn't. And, you know, she dresses and she goes to the junior league. And in the book, she's also, you know, she's a childhood friend of these people, so she loves them on some level. You don't really get that much in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But is she an opportunist? I guess that's what people will ask. Is she being an opportunist because she's taking advantage of these African-American women, which people, by telling their story in order to get herself a job in New York, people said that about me as well. I mean, I had one person send me a letter and write across my photo an upholder of the status quo and things like that. But on the other hand, What do we ask of people who are, you know, 23 years old and who are trying to make a way for themselves, and then they see in the process of making that way for themselves that something is wrong? And that's one of the things that I really didn't like in the movie, is that they didn't show that Abilene then became a writer for the newspaper, even covertly.
Yeah, that wasn't clear at all.
Right. And that's very important, because I think a number of domestic workers had expertise in domesticity, and domesticity itself and household tasks is a skill that still is undervalued. And so what some of these black women did was work their way into higher paying jobs, either in nursing or in catering, or like Abilene as a writer, of things that they knew that they were experts at. And, you know, in New Orleans, for example, the first TV personality who was a cook was an African-American woman, and this was in the 1950s. So I was disappointed in the film that it didn't bring that part out.
They seemed to make more of a deal about the fact that she was getting a new wardrobe, that Skeeter was getting a new wardrobe for New York City, than what happened to Abilene in the end.
Right.
My guest is Susan Tucker. She's an archivist and librarian at Newcomb College Institute at Tulane University. She is also the author of Telling Memories Among Southern Women, Domestic Workers and Their Employers in the Segregated South. It was the a main inspiration for the book The Help, and the movie The Help. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Start your day with local updates from the award-winning WOSU News team.
Irritability, loss of appetite, vomiting, and diarrhea. Those are just some of the side effects of neonatal abstinence syndrome, or what doctors call withdrawal babies.
Babies undergo a full-blown narcotic withdrawal.
These babies can be very sick, and I've seen two or three of them die, and plenty of them have seizures.
Hear the latest in local and national news on Morning Edition on 89.7 NPR News, your all-day NPR news station.
This is 89.7 NPR News. Thanks for joining us for All Sides with Ann Fisher. And you can listen to our station anywhere, anytime by streaming on the web. Hear local and national news all day, every day from the convenience of your computer. Listen online anytime at WOSU.org. And our website has a new look. Check it out and tell us what you think. 72 degrees at 10:20 this morning. Sunny skies warming up to a high of 83. Mostly clear skies tonight and a low of 62. Sunshine for Saturday and a high of 84. Clear skies Saturday night and a low of 63. And then sunshine as we look ahead to Sunday and a high of 78. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on 89.7.
We're going to listen to a scene from The Help now. It's a film that recently opened in theaters. It's based on the book by Kitty Stockett. It's about the Jim Crow laws in the American South that mandated separate public facilities for African Americans.
You is kind, you is smart, you is important. You is smart, you is kind. You is important.
Oh,
that's so good.
That's the actress Viola Davis playing Abilene. She's taking care. She's getting ready, I think, to say goodbye, or she is talking with her young charge in that movie, a somewhat neglected young girl. Abilene is the domestic help in a household of whites, of course, and she is probably the chief protagonist from the African-American community in the book, The Help, and also it's been turned into a movie. Maybe you've seen it. Joining us, still with us, is Susan Tucker. She's the author of an oral history about the relationship of domestics and their employers in the segregated South. Joining us now is Noelle Williams. She's the president of the Columbus, Ohio NAACP. She's been recognized twice as Woman of the Year and was an Ohio Civil Service Employees Association Union Chapter President. Welcome to the show, Noelle.
Good morning, and thank you.
Before we talk about the reaction to the film, and have you seen the film?
Yes.
Yes. Let's talk about the history of Jim Crow in the South and its impact on African-American women and families. You have a Southern roots yourself.
Yes, yes. My mother was from the Deep South. She was actually from a small town called Port Gibson, Mississippi. So, yes, I have a little knowledge there.
And did she ever talk about the role of Black women in the South when she lived there?
She not only talked about Black women, but she talked about how poorly treated African Americans were treated during that time. She always had a position that she never wanted to live in Mississippi again because of the way people were demoralized while she was there. And she, it just eat it away at her spirit and her soul.
Did she work herself?
Yes, she did work for a very short time as a domestic servant. And I think that's probably what turned her away. But the one thing that she did come to understand and appreciate was education. Education was critically important that her children were educated because she was not afforded that opportunity. Her parents were sharecroppers, and she had a sixth grade education, and she was the youngest of seven. So there's a picture of her with all of her brothers and sisters and with her parents where they're standing pretty much in front of a shack, and it's just dirt. And so she just could not deal with that and did not like it at all.
So when you were preparing to go see the movie, what were you expecting? Did you have any preconceived notions? Had you read any of the criticisms of the book yet, or any of the praise of the book?
Well, yes, I had read a little bit about from the critics about the book, and I really wanted to see what it was all about. The National NAACP during the National Convention in July had shown the movie, and had encouraged people to go and see the movie. So I really wanted to see what it was about and if it would enlighten me a little more to why my mother had the thoughts and the attitudes she had about Mississippi in particular.
And did it?
Oh, yes, a great deal. It definitely helped me to understand in which there is a scene in which one of the domestic women is pretty much helping prepare her daughter, who is 14, to be a domestic. She's telling her to never smart mouth, never talk back. And that helped me to understand a position my mother always had, which was she would not allow a Caucasian person to call her by her first name. If they introduced themselves as Mr. Brown or Mrs. Brown, they could not call her by her first name. They had to refer to her as Mrs. or Miss. So it definitely helped me to understand.
Susan Tucker, that's an issue you raise in your book as well, the how people are addressed.
Right. That was very important because the white families always, well, not always, but were trying to make the domestic worker a part of their family. So they were calling her aunt or by their first name, and it was very demeaning because they were adults. And many of the African-American women talked about how even a small child was, you know, you were supposed to say yes, ma'am, to someone who was 12 years old. So it was a very demeaning situation that was pervasive. It was pervasive for almost every household. And they were always called by their first name.
There's been criticism of the story, Noelle Williams, that it sugarcoats. There's too much humor. There's too much, you know, there's as I mentioned earlier, romance, humor, pathos. It's way oversimplification and a lot of criticism of it. Did you see that in there? What would your criticism be? Anyone can knock something about a movie, but what would you say?
Well, I don't know if it's so much simplified that way of life. I think that it gave a window into a time in America that many times we are not ready to face because some people, if you're not from the South, you did not live during that time, then you really don't know. But I think it helped. It gave people a window into what that lifestyle could have possibly been like. The one part that I thought was kind of sugar-coated or did not really show is the abuse, the physical abuse that African-American women were subjected to during that time. And that where we only saw the one scene in which the domestic had the bruised eye. But that's a reality not only today, but it was very pervasive during that time. And that's the only thing that I thought was sugar-coated. In terms of the movie overall, it's a movie. It's a movie. It's supposed
to be. It's Hollywood.
Right, and it's supposed to be entertaining. I think reading Suzanne's book and reading also the other book, The Help, will help people to understand a little more. But I really believe that both books need to be read so you can get a better understanding of the movie. In my opinion, that's what I think.
Susan Tucker, the abuse issue, it's dealt with there's the domestic abuse that Minnie is subjected to, but the fear that she has of her employer's husband when he's trying to kind of chase after her on the lawn outside their mansion. Mm-hmm. He's trying to get her to tell her to thank her for helping his wife, but she's horribly afraid of him and almost hysterical. The movie doesn't get at what's behind that very well, does it, Susan?
No, it didn't get at that at all. And I think perhaps it's a two—I don't know. I don't know what their decision was not to portray that. And I don't think actually the book does a very good job with that either.
Right.
But there are many things, as Noelle said, that the book does good, and the movie does good. But I had three main complaints, but one of them was this issue of the fear that every day the first interview in my book talks about the fear that black women felt going into the white people's home, and that they were subject to physical abuse. There was always that vulnerability that the white man could come and say, and mothers would tell their daughters, just be really firm, don't give them any impression that you're going to flirt with them or anything. I mean, that was just, it was so scary. And then for some of the interviewees that I spoke with and that are in the book, one talks about how she was actually threatened by a white man. And she went home and she told her mother, and her mother says to her, well, we can't tell your father. We can't tell him. Please don't tell him, because then he would go back and, try to beat up this man or try mm-hmm. to go to the law. And there was no recourse. There was no recourse. And then, it would involve the whole community. So when they have that scene where Minnie is sending her daughter, and she says, don't smart mouth, there was also a message, be very careful. Be very, very careful, because really bad things can happen.
Well, what I found interesting was, and I'm specifically talking about the abuse that the domestic had experienced at the hand of her husband. I think his name was Leroy.
All right.
And how, when you're talking about the one incident in your book in which you do an interview, and the lady is talking about the gentleman that may have approached her daughter, I think there was more of a concern of that if she told it, that her father may abuse or discipline her, thinking she had done something to create that type of situation, blaming the victim. Mm-hmm. And, to me in the movie, that's what they really don't touch on. You just hear over the phone in which she's talking to the one domestic and she's talking about how she's lost her job, and her husband comes in and all you hear him doing is yelling at her, and she's afraid because he's going to beat her for losing the job. And to me, it the movie kind of brushed over that, because those women not only lived in fear of what may happen in their employer's home, but what would happen when they got home, especially if they were the only breadwinner. And that's something that is not brought out in that movie, that during that period of time, during that era, many times the women were the major breadwinners in the house. They were the only ones that could get a job mm-hmm. for the fear that that white males had towards African-American males. So, it was like, hey, you have the job. You're putting the bread and butter on the table. You're paying the bills. How dare you go out here and lose this job? You need to do whatever is necessary to keep this job. And that's what I was talking about, is the fact that many times African-American women during that period, and still even today, there's the physical abuse that goes on in the home, because they are the breadwinner. They are the ones that's maintaining the household. And I didn't see that kind of was brushed over. So there was kind of a double fear that these women were under.
My guests, Susan Tucker, she wrote the book that in part inspired The Help. Her name of her book is Telling Memories Among Southern Women. 614-292-8513 if you have a question or comment for her. My other guest, Noelle Williams, she's president of the Columbus NAACP. If you have a question or comment for her, you can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Carol in Plain City, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. Hi, Carol.
Hi. Something just happened with my phone. I wanted to tell you a couple stories about it. I read the book last year, and I really loved it. And I thought it was maybe a little simplified, but I think they could have gotten more into depth than some of the issues. But this weekend I went to see the movie, and the guy in front of me bought tickets to see two tickets to the movies, one to see, and his wife was going to see The Help, and he was going to see Planet of the Apes. And I thought, well, why is this? Are these guys thinking that this is maybe a chick flick or something like that? And then I happened to be speaking to my late 20s son, who is college educated and everything, and he thought, I have no interest in seeing that movie. So it's kind of sad in a way, but I just thought, it was, guys seem to think it's going to be a chick flick or something, and I think they're the ones that need to see it too. That's all.
That's interesting, Carol. Noelle Williams, given what you were just saying about the further depth of the circumstances of women in that era in the South, did it feel like a chick flick to you?
No, it didn't feel like a chick flick to me, but, but I'm speaking from a female's perspective and a female's point of view, and I think that maybe the reason her son has that viewpoint is that's the way the whole advertisement is spun, is that you see these women and it kind of comes off like it's a chick flick, but it really isn't.
Susan Tucker, men don't play as big a role in the film as they did in the book, even though they didn't play much of a role in the book either.
Well, a couple of things, I guess. You know, in some respects, it definitely, the advertisement, as Noelle says, really spin it as the chick flick and the clothes and just the procession of women. But you know, women do read more fiction than men, and that's one part of this. And
the book was read by more women than men.
Yeah. But also, when I went to see the film, there were a number of men there, and there were a number of black men there. And actually, the first person who saw the film that called me was a black young man. He was young, and he just called me. He got out of the movie, and he had known that had written Telling Memories, and he called me at 10 o'clock at night. So I don't know, it's one of those things where it's an opportunity to ask, why is this book so popular with women, or why is it so popular in America? And what do we need to be changing today that we aren't seeing, just like Skeeter wasn't seeing or somebody else wasn't seeing in 1962?
It has posed an opportunity for conversation. We're going to continue that conversation when we return. You can join it. We're talking about The Help. What do you think? Give us a call or email us. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Hey, did you hear Car Talk last week?
He actually installed a very sophisticated keyless ignition system. that one of the pieces that he didn't tell me when he got the truck was that it didn't actually come with keys. And that to turn it on, you had to do some sort of elaborate ritual where you honked the horn and some other thing.
And throw a pinch of salt over your shoulder. Like,
don't miss the fun this week.
Join us for Car Talk.
Car Talk tomorrow at noon here on 89.7 NPR News. Stay right here with 89.7 in 20 minutes at 11 o'clock. All Sides Weekend begins with a discussion of enjoying the outdoors in Ohio for late summer and early fall. Join us for that beginning at 11. And you can join WOSU for a Chefs in the City Ohio beer tasting at the historic Grandville Inn on September 14th. Local food hors d'oeuvres will be paired with a selection of beers from four of Ohio's best breweries. Tickets are on sale now for $45 each. Visit WOSU.org/chefs to reserve your tickets.
Support for 89.7 comes from Antioch University Midwest, helping adults to complete their bachelor's or to start their master's degree. Last call for fall classes begins soon. More information at midwest.antioch.edu.
73 degrees with sunny skies. Sunshine continues throughout the day today and will reach a high of 83 this afternoon. Clear skies tonight, a low of 62. Sunshine for Saturday and a high of 84. All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News. Thanks for joining us.
We're talking about the movie and the book it was based on, The Help. with Susan Tucker. She's the author of an oral history about the relationship of domestics and their employers in the segregated South. Also with us, Noelle Williams. She's the president of the Columbus NAACP. 614-292-8513. That's the number to call. And you can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. We have one from Angel. She writes, a good idea is for Black people to ask their grandmothers about their experiences. My grandmother told me about an experience where she went to interview to be a housekeeper here in Columbus. She went to the front door and the husband scolded her and told her to go to the back door. When he closed the door, she just returned home. According to her, she didn't need the job that bad. You can only get these stories if you ask. Susan Tucker, when you were asking these questions, I thought it was interesting because Skeeter sort of started out the same thing in The Help, asking a pretty perfunctory list of questions like wages and benefits and that kind of a thing. You abandoned that very quickly in the process of your work.
Yes, I did. I think that happens not only in works like mine, but in most oral histories is that people want to talk and they want to tell you the story they want to tell you. They don't want to tell you. Maybe you get that all the time with interviewees. That they want to tell you their version and they don't want to particularly be guided. And I think I did the interviews mostly 1972 to 1979 to 1982. And I think people were hungry to tell these stories. They had been neglected. The stories had been neglected, just like I suspected from the history books. And both white and Black people were very, very interested in telling about what they thought had happened in the past. They were hungry for it. And I think the popularity of The Help suggests to us that they're still hungry to understand it. And I think the person who wrote the email is right. It's important that we continue this discourse and learn, you know, what people in the past remember.
What about the conversation, Noelle Williams, what about the conversation? Because there have been critics. They criticize the dialect used in the movie. They think it's demeaning. There's the idea of focusing on domestic help in the segregated South. Why focus on that? Why not focus on what women are doing, what Black women are doing, and create strong roles for Black women in the movies in contemporary society? What is your sense about the idea of what this movie, what the book has brought out in conversation?
Well, from my perspective, from the civil rights perspective, there needs to be more conversation about race relations in America. And anything that can help all of us increase that dialogue, increase an understanding of where people were, where we come from, helps us to understand where we are today. So in terms of there needs to be more conversation about women being seen as role models, those women in that movie, in my opinion, those women during that time, we all stand on their shoulders. Something that I tell young people, especially my girls, is remember who you represent. And for me, having that kind of information out there, having books like the book that Suzanne has written, the book The Help, helps to give you a window, and it also helps to increase the dialogue. There has to be more dialogue in America about race relations. Many people believe that Black people are better off today than they were in the past. That's a matter of opinion for some. Many people believe that African Americans have arrived since we have the first African American president in the White House. That is not true. Life is a journey. It is not a destination. So we're still on this journey. And anything that can help increase our understanding of where we were, where we come from, is a good thing. So in terms of saying the dialogue or the dialect is inappropriate or demeaning, in all honesty, open your eyes, open your mind, and learn.
Jed, in Columbus. You're on the air. Welcome to the show. Hi, Jed.
Oh, hi. I got talked into reading The Help by my wife, and I put it off for a long time. I finally picked it up, started reading it, and I'll tell you, I could not put it down. It was great. She went and saw the movie. I'll probably go see the movie. So I'm a white guy that I belong to a black church, and I like it there. But here's the deal. When I was younger, three of my buddies and I and a bunch of other guys went in the Marine Corps Reserve, and we got sent down to Parris Island, South Carolina. Well, when we went down there, there was one black kid with us, and this is 1963. We got meal tickets, and so we got to Charleston, South Carolina, and we were hungry, so we go to a restaurant. And we went in there. It was kind of a mom-and-pop restaurant, and the waitress came up and said, we're not going to serve you. And we said, why not? And she said, because he's with you, this black kid. And we were ticked off, and so we said, well, then we're not going to eat. And so we went to another restaurant. Same thing happened. So we had never been... I mean, from Columbus, we just never experienced that, at least in 63. So we go to a big hotel in the middle of downtown Charleston, and the maitre d' was a black maitre d', and he looked at us. We were on Levi's tennis shoes, t-shirt. He said, gentlemen, what can I do for you? And we said, we want to eat. And he said, where would you like to eat? And we said, under that big chandelier there, because we had determined if they were not going to feed us, we were going to cause major problems because we couldn't get in any more trouble than going in the Marine Corps. Anyway, this guy seated us, we ate, and to this day I cannot figure out why that big hotel served us and those other mom and pops wouldn't. But anyway, The Help is great. I recommend that all guys read it because it is not a chick book and it's probably not a chick flick. Thank you.
Thank you, Jed. You want to give us a call? We have a few minutes left. 614-292-8513. Kiki, you're in Youngstown. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi.
I want to know, as a whole, can the book describe a triumph for the black woman? I know the prior caller was speaking about they were all role models and we're on their shoulders, but I'm talking about as a whole. Does the book speak to the triumph of a black woman?
Susan Tucker, what's your estimation of that?
Well, no, I don't think so. I don't think it's a direct triumph. I think it shows advancement. That part shows the advancement. I mean, that in the book, Abilene gets a really good job. You know, or not really good, but I mean, she gets a job that's a step up. She progresses in life, which is very important to show that progression. And that she worked for it, that she built on something that she had. And I actually, as I said, I think that part was realistic. I'm sorry they left it out of the movie, that she would become a writer for the newspaper. Of course, she had to be undercover. They say she can't say her name. I don't know if it's, I wouldn't say it's a triumph for black women. I think it's a triumph that in America we are beginning to discuss race.
And would you say that we need a correct dialogue instead of settling for just any kind of dialogue? We need a correct dialogue that's going to progress the triumph of a black woman?
Noelle Williams?
Well, I think we need progressive dialogue, positive dialogue. I think that the fact that the lady does become a writer is somewhat a step forward. All throughout history, there are quiet soldiers, there are quiet victories, but we all benefit in some way. I definitely think we need the dialogue. I definitely believe that.
Thank you, Kiki, for that call, and thanks for listening. Ann and Hilliard, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Did you ask for Ann?
I did.
Hi.
Hi.
I've enjoyed very much this program. I'm delighted to be able to respond briefly. One, I think that Noelle Williams has essentially been reading my mind, every word out of her mouth practically is my thought exactly. I had just written a note that I felt like this movie, among other things, opens a window to conversations that are desperately needed between blacks and whites and women and their own children. I was delighted with her comment. I think we should remember that this is a work of fiction, and it's presented as a work of fiction, and we ought not hold it to necessarily higher standards than we would other works of fiction that are always filled with elements that are not 100% true to life. And thirdly, my husband has seen the movie and greatly enjoyed it. My 24-year-old son has seen the movie and greatly enjoyed it. He went with six other young adults. Every one of them enjoyed it, was moved to tears, or at least was moved. And I feel that it's a great movie for families, men and women, teenagers, and that it elicits a response that we need to be tapping into to get us to come to grips with the racism that still is prevalent in this country. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Ann. Dina in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I haven't seen the book, the movie or the book, but I am African American, and both of my grandmothers were domestic servants in the South and in Ohio when they moved here. And my mother used to help her grandmother clean homes when she herself was a teenager. And, I remember hearing a lot of stories about what it was like for them. And, you know, I'm a different circumstance now. You know, I'm probably middle class, and a couple of years ago, I needed some help cleaning my house and had hired someone to do some domestic work for me, you know, on a every other week type of basis, and I just couldn't do it. Just remembering the stories that were shared with me, it was really hard for me to hire someone to do those things, and I ended up just, you know, cutting out the service and doing it myself because I remember hearing things that my grandmothers had gone through and what it was like for them.
Thank you, Dina. Noelle, you want to?
Well, first I want to comment on what Ann and Hilliard had said. Thank you so much. I think it's really important that we do increase the dialogue. And I understand where Dina's at because she has those vivid memories. And it's somewhat hard to come face to face with that. But understanding that where her grandparents were has allowed her to have an appreciation for her life, her situation, her circumstances, and possibly having an understanding for the people she hired to help clean her home. And really, in all honesty, right now it's all about economics. Those people needed a job, Dina.
Dina, thanks for your call. We appreciate it. Kim in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. Hi, Kim.
Hi.
Hi.
I have read the book and went to see the movie with my friends. We were in a book club, and it was a very diverse theater, Hispanic, Asian, African-American, white, female and male. And I'm an educator and a mother, and I was not raised in the South. I was raised here in Central Ohio, so I don't have that experience of either seeing or knowing about the domestics before this. But it really made me want to go up to someone, especially an African-American female that was in that theater, and apologize. Because I wanted to say, I'm sorry for those people who made others feel that horrible and that less of a human. And I really think that that's what I was left with from the movie and in the book. And I just really wanted to say to Skeeter, her character and people like her, that, you know, they had a lot of courage, and I'm so glad that there were people like that there in the South.
Thank you, Kim, for that call. Susan Tucker, you grew up with African-American. Her name, Eula?
Eula May.
Eula May Rudolph. Mm-hmm. when you edited this book and did the interviews, did you learn anything that you didn't know growing up with it?
Oh, yes. I learned a tremendous amount. I had no idea of, first of all, the fear that these women felt going into homes. I had no idea that either of the richness of it. You saw the poverty, but you also saw these women were very, you know, they had done so many wonderful things coping. Of course, I knew about Yulme, what she had done coping, but I then learned about other people and how they coped with life. And it was a wonderful way of becoming an adult myself, because they, in a sense, all the women whose transcripts I wrote out became role models because they coped. You know, they had a hard situation and they made the best of it and how they did it. So it was a wonderful gift for me. And so I think the sentiment that the last caller gave, which was a beautiful sentiment really, that we, when we look at the past, we want to say, oh, what went wrong? And how can we today change that? And I think what we also have to realize, though, is that when we're living our day-to-day lives, and you see this in both the African-American and the white women I interviewed and in The Help, is we become so involved in our lives that we don't say, you know, what is really happening here? Mm-hmm. What is really happening that we're not noticing today that we need to address?
Susan Amen. Tucker, author of Telling Memories Among Southern Women, a major inspiration for The Help. Thanks for joining us. And also Noelle Williams, president of Columbus NAACP. Thank you for being with us today, Noelle.
Thank you.